KDW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. After finding two of the construction workers who were killed in the collapse of the Key Bridge this week in Baltimore, crews will start today to remove some of the wreckage. As to rebuilding,
we will come up with a design for the replacement of that bridge as quickly as possible to get the port back up and the community back up and running.
Maryland Secretary of Transportation Paul Wiedefeld. It's just too dangerous in the water right now below the bridge for dive crews to look for the four remaining people who lost their lives in the collapse. Stabbing spree in Rockford, Illinois, west of Chicago.
We have four individuals who are deceased. We have one that's in critical condition right now, and an additional four that are in stable condition.
Police Chief Carla Redd, there's no word on a motive, but there is a suspect in custody. Today is sentencing day for cryptocurrency fraudster Sam Bankman-Fried. Prosecutors want to see him behind bars for 50 years. His lawyers say he deserves no more than 6.5. This is ABC News. More evacuations from the violence in Haiti. A nonprofit group now says it got 51 people, including some Americans, out. New York City taking another step toward becoming the first in the country to charge a toll just for driving into part of the city. A vote yesterday approving the congestion pricing plan for Lower Manhattan. ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Those new toll readers are already installed, but the plan still needs to be approved by the Federal Highway Administration. And there are several pending lawsuits in New York and New Jersey that could complicate implementation of this plan. But the MTA fully expects the tolls to kick in by June.
Most drivers will have to pay $15 to get into the congestion zone. And the Secret Service is now part of an investigation into a scam on the Girl Scouts.
These are children. You know, we're taking advantage of our children.
Fairfield, California Police spokesperson Jennifer Brantley. After somebody used fake $100 bills to buy Girl Scout cookies, three different troops in Northern California got the bogus bills. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. As many as 21% of Wisconsin adults could see their representation in the state legislature flip parties this fall. The Journal Sentinel bases that forecast on historical trends. The biggest changes could come to Green Bay, Eau Claire, rural south central Wisconsin, Racine and Kenosha, and the Driftless region. President Biden's campaign co-chairman was in La Crosse and Wausau today talking about boosting the economy with infrastructure projects.
Presidents for 50 years talked about doing it. Nobody could do it, but the president did it, $1.2 trillion, because those are the things that are creating jobs for high-paying union workers that are transforming communities.
Mitch Landrieu spearheaded the president's trillion-dollar infrastructure plan. He met with mayors in Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, and Sheboygan Tuesday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Bucks are in the Big Easy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks begin a three-game road trip tonight in New Orleans when they play the Pelicans, but they'll be without one of their best defensive players, guard Pat Beverly, picked up in that trade last month with the 76ers. He's got torn ligaments in his right wrist. It'll require surgery. Recovery 3 to 4 months means his season is likely over. Baseball, Brewers and the Mets season opener called off today due to poor weather in New York. They'll try again tomorrow afternoon. NFL, Packers wrapping up owners' meetings in Orlando. Matt Michael Floron why he's really excited. They've added Giants safety Xavier McKinney to the defense.
I love just his ability to make plays on the ball. I think you saw it in particular. Two plays that stick out to me were in that Philly game where he makes an unbelievable interception on the sidelines, and then the very next play they try to run a screen and he dissects the screen and jumps in front and picks off the ball, like back-to-back two interceptions.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be a little warmer and less windy today. Mostly sunny, our high 41 this afternoon. The wind out of the west still at around 10 to 15, occasionally gusting to 20, but the wind will die down in the afternoon. Clear tonight, 24. Increasing clouds, 48 tomorrow, with scattered rain showers by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Hey everybody, Todd Allbaugh. Noon to 2 on Thursday, we'll be live in Richland Center to talk to a local group of making a difference on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
All right, time to text and win this morning in our ride into spring contest with Mino and the Mayor and the Civic Media Radio Network. Statewide contest. It's a chance to win a Chula Vista getaway, which would be perfect right now. And some great grand prizes, too, including a bike, that blender, 3-in-1 blender, and a patio love seat. You got to download the Civic Media app right now. What you want to do is choose your station, WISS or WGBW. Lower right-hand corner, text to win. This hour's keyword is park. P-A-R-K. This hour's keyword is park. Text that in right now before 8 o'clock for your shot to qualify for the getaway to Chula Vista and the grand prize, that bike, 3-in-1 blender, and that patio love seat. You could win. Your next shot to a call in, or actually the text in a keyword, is coming up after 10 o'clock with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on Matinair On Air. Now back to Mino and the Mayor, and this morning, our guest host, Kathy Larkin.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Doug Kaufman will be joining us in just a bit for a little reunion here. But first, we have to talk about big things happening this week. You know, tomorrow is Vietnam Veterans Day, and that's a fairly recent type of thing, and I think it's way overdue.
Why did it take so long?
I don't know, but we got a lot of things going on, and we had a gentleman here yesterday from the Ashwaubenon VFW, got a gentleman here now from the Bellevue VFW, and a Vietnam veteran, Ronnie Umentum. Ronnie, good morning.
Good morning, John.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Hey, I don't know if you're listening, but I just talked with that great get-together we had at your place a couple of years ago with the World War II veterans, the Korean War veterans, and the Vietnam veterans. So many of those people have asked me, hey, are we ever going to do that again? That was so much fun.
It sure was fun. And I tell you, I talked to when one of the World War II veterans were leaving that day, he actually had a tear in his eye. He said nobody ever did that for him, and he really appreciated that day. And so did and all the other veterans that attended.
Well, you know who we hope to have on the show here? I think it's the 13th of April, and he still talks about it as well. We hope to have him here on the 13th of April because it's going to be his 100th birthday. Jack Krasinski.
And, yes, I remember Jack.
And when I talked to his daughter one day, she says he still talks about that, how great that was to have all those veterans together and to be able to just bond in that one day. It was really special for them.
It was special for all of them and especially myself.
Yep. And you know what's funny too, Ron? We even mentioned this. It's like, you know, we had one guy there who would, you know, became a millionaire in investments or whatever. He'd been a POW in Vietnam, but, you know, did green. Then we had another buddy of us who was like a biker for his entire life. And you know what? Those two bonded like you can't believe.
Yep. You bring people together with one common thing, but
absolutely,
a big, huge common thing, fighting for your country.
100%.
You're going to have a good time.
Yep.
Because you all have that one huge thing in common that other people can't quite understand ever.
Do you remember that, Ron?
Yes, exactly. It was quite a few different type of walks of life that were at that party, but yet we all had one thing in common. Yep. We all were veterans.
That's exactly right. Well, Ron, when did Vietnam Veterans Day really begin?
Actually, it began in 2017.
Okay.
And it was put into law. The Vietnam War Recognition Act was signed in 2017, and March 19th was designated by the Vietnam War Recognition Day, and it was signed into law by President Trump.
Okay, So it is a fairly recent thing. I don't think it gets the publicity it deserves.
It doesn't. And, you know, I did look it up, and, you know, I also saw that the Korean war vets never had a date that they had to celebrate. They had Armistice Day in 2023 that they celebrated, that was 70 years after the armistice was signed.
Okay. But, yeah, that's another group. I'll tell you what, you want to talk about, and the guys I've dealt with for my books, you want to talk about two groups that had the same thing in common, the Korean war vets and the Vietnam vets.
Yep.
Wouldn't you agree? World War I vets, World War II vets had something in common. Korean War vets and Vietnam vets were both put into such a tough situation. And I think a lot of the circumstances that happened afterwards were very similar, wouldn't you say, Ron?
Exactly. And, what I look at is like the Korean vets, you know, they've called it the Forgotten War. You talk to a Korean vet and ask him if he ever forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right?
You know, one thing that people didn't realize about Korea, how bad it was? Because it was so bad and the conditions they were up in were so horrific that the media wouldn't even go there.
Go there to cover it.
Exactly. Right. That's how bad it was. So it wasn't until years later, years and years later, that it finally kind of filtered out how tough it was in Korea. Right, Ron?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And, you know, they had to fight the elements. You know, it was a war that wasn't welcomed. The World War II vets just came off of a big victory. I guess I shouldn't say just. There was a few years in between.
Not many, yet, though.
No, there wasn't many. But yet there was never the backing and support in the Korean War, just like there was in the Vietnam War. And I think those are some of the reasons why we lost, or I shouldn't say lost, that we didn't win those wars the way we should have.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Ron. When you came back, you pretty much just shut it out, didn't you? How long did you go before you even told anyone you'd been in Vietnam?
Actually, I worked with people who were Vietnam vets. I played in a lot of softball, and in my social life, the people I knew, I didn't know there were Vietnam vets that I worked with them, and I didn't tell anybody until 12 and a half years after I got back from Vietnam.
Wow, that says something right there.
Isn't that something?
That's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel so horrible for you.
It's not uncommon.
I know.
Yeah.
That you had to feel ashamed, yeah. You know.
You know, the motto for the Vietnam vet now for the new soldiers is never again will one generation leave another behind. And we live by that.
Yep.
And, you know, when you look at the casualties and the things that affected us in the war, you know, there were over 58,000 killed, 300,000 wounded. You know, just an example is the Army had 66% of those were of the casualties were the Army, and the Marines had 25.5%, but yet the Marines had the highest percentage based on the number of soldiers that were there.
Right. Now, Ron, another thing, though, too, we were just talking about this, about at your party, you know, how the whole different spectrums of, you know, what they did in their civilian life all came together like you can't believe, but it's kind of strange when you go into a place like, you know, like Vietnam, obviously, and you got somebody from the deep south, somebody from the far north, somebody from whatever, somebody from whatever, there's a brotherhood. But, man, you got different personalities that you experienced in dealing with these guys, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And everyone was different. But yet, in the end, we all were the same. You know, they dressed us the same and we had to act the same.
But some of those guys from the South still thought they were fighting the Civil War, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I had some discussions, some serious discussions where I had one of them pulling an M16 on me and arguing who was going to win the war in the North or the South. I was referring to the Vietnam War. He was referring to the Civil War.
Yeah, because that's how they're raised.
Absolutely.
Down South.
Exactly.
It's part of their life.
Exactly.
It just is. Their fabric of their being.
Yeah. But, you know, you talk about... Go ahead, Ron.
And he was serious. I mean, he had a locked and loaded weapon right on me.
Yeah.
He was so angry.
Because Ron said the North would win again if there's another civil war in the United States.
Yeah, which is probably true.
But another thing, didn't you say around some of those guys, it's like, didn't you have one guy that couldn't even tie his boots?
We had one guy, if you ever read the book, McNamara's Morons, these people were drafted to avoid drafting college students. So they took people who couldn't qualify actually for the military. They couldn't read or write. This guy couldn't hardly tie his boots. We'd be walking out in the jungle and in the rice paddies, and he'd be tripping on his boot strings. He wouldn't wash. He wouldn't brush his teeth. He wouldn't carry his rucksack right. He didn't know how to ration his water to make sure we had enough water. And he was in my squad. And one evening we had put out some Claymore mines because we were on night ambush teams. And I didn't have time to go make sure he had them set up right. But he had them pointing up in the air instead of towards the enemy.
Whoops.
So I asked that he be relieved from my squad, and he was put on on duty as a crap burner.
I was going to say, probably got latrine duty. That's exactly it.
That's what he got, yeah. Right? And how did he do with that, Ron?
Well, I tell you, he did pretty good with that. But, you know, after we'd come back out of the field, we'd be gone for maybe a week, and we'd come back, and we'd see him stirring this crap. And he'd put diesel oil and gasoline in there. And I'd see him stirring this crap, and he had a smile on his face. And then after a few times coming back in, I realized he was probably the smartest guy in the group.
Yeah, he was.
Found a way to get out of it.
Exactly.
So pretty soon I start seeing other guys not tying their boots.
What's the worst sandwich you ever ate over there, Ron?
I wouldn't call it the worst. It was actually good.
Okay.
But the strangest sandwich you ever ate was a rat sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I guess when you got to eat, you got to eat.
It was actually better than the sea rations.
Yeah.
Well, it was fresh.
Except for peaches and pound cake.
Yes. And it's actually, you didn't know when you were eating it, but it was rat meat, right?
It was rat, yes.
Well, they were probably in a high supply around there.
Did you guys used to catch them, Ron, or something?
Yes. We would be back in the rear. We'd be back in a fire support base. We would actually catch these rats. We would take a piece of, like, these saltine crackers would come in. The parents or family members would send us packages, and we'd keep one cracker in that cellophane, and then we'd have a candle in the bunker, and we'd blow out the candle, and we'd wait until the rat comes, and then we could hear that paper crunch, and then we'd whack them with a machete, and then we'd take those, we'd take them down to the barter point and trade them to Mama San's for whiskey.
Ah, very creative.
So not knowing that later we're going to the village, and this lady offered me a sandwich, and not knowing that it was rat, that we were eating our own rats.
What goes around comes around, right?
Absolutely. The circle of life.
That's right.
Hey, Ron, when you were over there, though, you said those guys took good care of you, didn't they? Even like, you know, sometimes they talk about the FNGs, as they call it. It's tough on them. But your unit really took good care of you when you first came there, didn't they?
Well, you know, they always tried to pull tricks on you when you were the new guy.
Yeah.
We bond really tight. You know, it's unbelievable how close you become and how close we still are, because we still have a reunion every 2 years. We get about 25 guys together. But we didn't start that reunion until 43 years after.
Wow.
When they started here, the LZ Lambo.
Yeah.
And I had called up five guys, and they all came, you know, from Boston, Kansas.
That's awesome.
Couple from Wisconsin, and that's where we started. So we started getting the reunions together, and we got in touch with about 45 people. And one guy we could not get a hold of is one of our medics, which unfortunately he was wounded by.
Okay, hold it, Rod. Hang on. We got to set a quick break, Rod. 1 minute break. Hang on. You got to finish this story because it's a great story. Then we also want to talk about you tearing down the goalpost on the ice bowl.
What?
Right. Oh, yeah. What? Oh, Ron's a story in himself. We got to set a quick break. Mine and the Mayor Show. Ron, your mentor, Vietnam vet, joining us. Kathy Larkin is here. Doug Coffman will be joining us in a couple of minutes. Back after this.
There'd be no truck drivers if it wasn't for us trucks. No double clutching, gear jamming, coffee cranking nuts. They'll drive their way roaring, and they have all the luck.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned. Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
He ought to tell them how he missed a gear and that Volkswagen bus full of hippies passed us like I was sitting up on Jack. Or how we took that curve over on 66.
Hey, welcome back. Brendan the Mayor Show here on 97.9 WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and the Civic Media app. Tomorrow is Vietnam Veterans Day. We're going to have another special guest on tomorrow talk about his experience. But Ron Umentum's here. Ron, tell us, okay, you got to tell, finish the story you were just saying, because that's a really good story about the medic that you all thought pretty much died or something, you lost touch with?
Yes, we were searching for him, and we couldn't find him on the wall. But unfortunately, he wasn't on the wall, and we were spelling his name wrong.
Oh.
And Doc got wounded by friendly fire, and he was seriously wounded, a head wound. And we finally found him about 4 years ago. He was living in California. But he passed away 2 weeks ago. We got a notice from his daughter. His daughter Kim had sent us an email that he had passed away from his wounds received in Vietnam 54 years earlier.
Wow. And didn't you
he had brain injury. And he spent 2 years in a hospital after he was wounded. And then he was in a nursing home his last few years, and they couldn't take care of him. And he finally passed away 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And she said he finally passed away from the injuries he received in Vietnam.
Wow.
And, you know, one other thing to talk about, Rod, you know, you guys were talking about sea rations and eating rat sandwiches and that. Tell about the most dangerous thing you've ever done in your life, other than climbing to the top of the goalpost at Lambeau Field and tearing down the goalpost after the ice bowl, where you could have definitely died. But tell about the closest you've ever come to dying for a meal.
For a meal?
Yeah.
For a breakfast.
For a breakfast, yeah.
Oh, in my early years, you know, they're always telling you not to volunteer. Well, the Navy SEALs were looking, well, I didn't know where the SEALs at the time, were looking for nine men to go out on a night ambush. And so I volunteered because they said, if you go, the Navy brings you back to their base for a breakfast. I shot my hand up. I said, well, I'm going. So I went out and when we got on the boat, I got on with eight other guys who I didn't even know. And then, of course, there were four SEALs on each boat, river boats. When we went out, they were telling us that our mission was going to be that we probably are going to hit a battalion. There were nine of us, but they didn't tell us this until we got on the boat. And when we they started, I handed off some additional ammunition. We set up along this riverbank. We didn't get in probably, wasn't even 100 feet, maybe a couple hundred feet. And we found this heavy used trail. Now, it's just getting dark. So the sergeant who was in charge told me to set up in the middle of the trail. Well, so we were awake. It's probably about midnight, I was estimating. He comes crawling over and said, hey, we've been on search and destroy missions all day. We're going to only keep two guys awake at a time. He said, I want you to pull the first guard. So I pulled the first guard. I woke up the guy next to me. I asked him where his claymores were and where his grenades and ammunition were. And I then proceeded to cover myself up with a camouflage blanket laying in the trail. Well, I had some mosquitoes trapped under that blanket. So I sat up and probably, I couldn't have been less than 100 feet away. Here they're walking down that trail right at me. The guy's sleeping. They were inside the claymores. I couldn't throw their grenades, so I had to open up on my M16. Well, the thing is, we were supposed to get a prisoner. We did have one wounded. And we were, by this time, there were nine, probably the oldest guy probably was 20 years old, all behind this stump where the M60 machine gun was set up, hollering to this guy to surrender. Well, he didn't surrender, so we had to take him out. And then the Navy SEALs came in. The artillery was already pre-prepped, helping us out, and the jets were on standby. So we finally got extracted from there and back on the SEAL boats. And what's going through my mind is that free breakfast. Now, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm thinking, well, we're going back. We're going to go to the Navy base, and we're going to get some breakfast. Well, we didn't get the breakfast. They said, we're going to see if we can cut them off from the rear. Now it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't see 100 feet in front of you. They insert us in, and then we stayed by the riverbank, and the SEALs took off with their boats. We started to proceed to advance in, and the M60 machine gun opens up, and the guy starts hollering, get back to the river. And so we got back to the river. We called back for the SEALs to come in to support us from the rear and called in artillery. And they said, we don't know where we dropped you off. Don't know your location. Pull back to the river and hold your ground till morning. So we did. We got into the water. And by this time, by the morning, they finally come and picked us up. We're soaking wet. Got leeches hanging all over me. I get on the boat, and guess what I'm thinking about?
Breakfast.
That breakfast.
Yeah.
That breakfast. How strange. So we get on the boat. We're heading down the river. I'm freezing because I'm soaking wet. And heading down the river to turn the boat around and bring us back to the Army base. And every time I see a Navy guy now, I say, you owe me a breakfast.
He never got his breakfast.
Wow. Wow.
Never got the breakfast.
But what a guy will do for a good breakfast.
Yeah. Yes. A nice, probably a warm home-cooked breakfast is what you were thinking about.
Going to an ambush with the Navy SEALs for a warm home-cooked breakfast.
Wow.
Yes. good stuff, Ron. Hey, Ron, again, we got Vietnam Vets Day tomorrow. But you, with your Bellevue VFW, you guys are going to be planning a big thing this spring as well, right, for Vietnam Vets and for everybody, really?
Yes. You know, the VFW Auxiliary is holding a car show. The Bellevue VFW Auxiliary are holding a car show on Saturday, May 18th at Jostin Park. And it's going to run from 9 to 3. And, you know, there's going to be music, food and beverage are put on by the Bellevue Lions Club. So it's kind of a joint effort. And, you know, the money and the proceeds that we collect don't go to those clubs. It goes to them initially, but then it's spread out to help other veterans and other people in our communities. So we encourage anybody who can attend to help out, we'd really appreciate it.
Car shows are always great, especially at Jostin's. A great place to have events.
Absolutely. We got to get Wolfie there with his, right, Ron?
Oh, yes. I run into Wolfie every once in a while, and he wants to have that reunion, too. And he'll be there.
Oh, I know.
He was there last year.
Oh, he was the hit of the party. We got to have him there.
And so was Wheaton. Weedy.
Yep. Yep,
Wolfie and Weedy.
Oh,
I like it.
It's great. It's the most, you just can't believe what a wonderful group of different guys these are, but how great it is. And we even had some of the Gold Star families there.
Wow.
Which was really cool.
Yeah.
And it's a great event. So we're going to do that again this summer. Okay, Ron?
That's right. Hey, I got one other thing before I go. You know, you talk about the Vietnam era veterans. And I was looking up and I found what the pay chart was back in 1969.
Yeah.
The pay chart for a month, if you were an E4, which is a specialist or a corporal, was $214 a month. But they did get $65 a month for combat or hazardous duty pay, which comes to $279 a month, which came to about $9 a day or 37 cents an hour.
Wow, Ron.
God.
And we did all that and didn't even get a good breakfast.
And you didn't get your hot homemade breakfast. Man, Ron.
You know, and I know I'm probably rushed for time here, but one thing I also looked up, you know, that there were actually 5 men that were 16 years old that were killed. The oldest was 62. Do you know how old the youngest one was?
Paul.
The youngest one was a 15-year-old.
Unbelievable.
A young man who enlisted at age 14.
Wow.
He joined the Marines and he lied on his birth certificate.
He
altered his birth certificate from 1953 to 1949.
Wow. Ronnie, we got to go. Thank you so much. We're going to have you back on real soon. Okay, bye, friend.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, okay. Buddy.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt and Aaron Air. As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Better bring your A game this week when it comes to risk management. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. A couple big reports coming out from the U.S. Department of Agriculture this week. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, explains their importance.
Well, there's a couple major reports during the year that are the major goalpost setters, and this is one of them this week, which is the USDA planting intentions report. What are they going to be those forecasted planted acres for corn, soybeans, and wheat, as well as other crops? That comes out on Thursday at 11 o'clock Central Time. And again, it resets the goalpost basically for the next 6 months or next handful of months until we get the June plantings numbers, where we see where the numbers actually are. And then we get the third report like this in September. The final plantings numbers.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. So the bullseye on Thursday for the release of those key USDA reports. Markets are getting prepared for those numbers. They're lower this morning. Numbers are next.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As a proud sponsor of the WIAA, Rural Mutual roots for all of Wisconsin's student athletes. Whether they're a hometown hero or they dream of the national spotlight, sportsmanship keeps Wisconsin strong. Visit ruralmutual.com/WIAA to learn more about how they support high school athletics.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
I think the collaboration that we see between Wisconsin Farm Bureau and these other commodity groups gives us a cohesive message, a singular stance in agriculture that offers credibility. It gives us a cohesive message and support for all of our agricultural organizations.
WFBF.com.
It's easy to join.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Barrel cheese on Tuesday went up 0.75 cents to 143.75. 40-pound block cheese drifted 0.25 cents lower at 142.5. Double A butter was down 3.25 on Tuesday to 283 a pound. This morning, our April Class 3 milk's down 7 at 15.78. The May milk closed a nickel stronger at 16.37. Currently, December corn's down 4 at 4.64. November beans down 3 at 11.87. July wheat's down 2 at 5.57. Don't forget, now is the time to become a rainfall reporter partner with the National Weather Service. Some critical geography that needs rainfall reporters include Langlade, Monroe, Pepin, Washera, and Vilas counties. You can get involved today. Go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. That's WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org and participate. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a little warmer and less windy today. Mostly sunny, our high 41 this afternoon. The wind out of the west still at around 10 to 15, occasionally gusting to 20, but the wind will die down in the afternoon. Clear tonight, 24. Increasing clouds, 48 tomorrow with scattered rain showers by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From I-43 to I-41.
This is the Talk of Green Bay.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Yeah.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor. The Mayor on vacation one more day. Kathy Larkin, capably fill it in. Very special guest, Doug Kaufman, will be joining us. This segment brought to you by Midwest Restoration, which offers 24/7 emergency services for its clients and provides a full range of services for both residential and commercial properties, including fire damage restoration, water damage restoration, mold remediation, wind and hail damage, along with storm damage, biohazard cleanups. You got a problem? They are the ones to call. Midwest Restoration, 920-MIDWEST, MWRestoration.com.
Do they pick up sticks?
Yeah.
Because I got a lot of them in my yard from all these winds.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's kind of like restoration.
Very much so. Yeah, yeah. Okay, thanks, Kat. Yeah. Introduce a very special guest.
All right, kind of.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Anyway. And we just want to make sure this isn't the contortionist that you dated.
Oh, my goodness, no. Yes.
Just throw it out there.
Oh, dang it. Ugh. And you never forget anything.
Oh, never.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Introduce him.
So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, please direct your attention to the center ring where we have my longtime friend and radio partner from the good old days on Star 98 or WQLH, Doug the Kaufman.
Well, I got to tell you guys, this is a beautiful studio, John, and I mentioned to you when I walked in here, this is the first radio station I have been in since I walked away from the business 15 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And, man, I wish I worked in a place like this. This is beautiful and
it
clean.
Is. You know, it's clean. The bathrooms modern. Are clean, too. You got to go to the bathroom while you're here.
Okay.
There's a shower in there.
You know, it's kind of ironic. We're talking about the circus. I think the last time I saw you, we sat next to each other like at a circus.
I think it was the Ringling something. Brothers thing.
Yeah. Isn't that ironic?
And it was the circus that they tried without the elephants and the animals.
Yes.
And it was my son, who's now 30, was like 7 and was invited out into the ring to do a trick.
Yeah, that's literally the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's crazy.
Wow.
How you doing, Doug? It's good to see you.
Life cannot be better.
Great.
Life cannot be better. I'm still happily married to the same wonderful woman. I'm as close to Kathy as I've been. We just went to Milwaukee last week.
Heard you've been going to Bucks games.
Yep, and the prevailing thought that I left the game was Larkin really understands what's going on because she could not get over one simple fact of the game and a certain Milwaukee Buck on the court that night.
And that was?
Brook Lopez.
Yep, and he had hair on his neck. He doesn't shave. It was just awful. He's like a millionaire, multi-millionaire.
Multi.
It's like, get a good
22
haircut.
22 million bucks a year.
Yeah. And it's like he's got all this, you know, like.
I don't
know. You don't.
She taps me. She's off to my right, and she taps me. She goes, hey, Brooke Lopez, how much money does he make? I said, I don't know, 18 to 22 millionaires. She goes, you think he could shave his neck? And what did I tell you? I said, I watched a game at Thanksgiving with my sister over in Eagan, Minnesota. I'm watching the game. She doesn't follow it. And she goes, who's number 11? I said, well, that's Brook Lopez. He must not be married. I said, why do you say that? She goes, well, look at the back of that guy's neck.
Yeah. Yes. See?
And I said, really? Robin was still on the team. I said, wait till you see the brother. And she goes, who's that? And she goes, oh, is that the guy with the sideshow bob hair? I said, that's him. She goes,
that's him?
He's not married. No married guy.
Would
whatever.
Walk around like that.
Well, they do that commercial. Have you ever seen the Tools of commercials?
Yes. That's great.
That's what you came away with, huh?
Yeah, he had all this neck hair. It's like, okay. God, I wanted to just go down there with a razor and just shave it off.
By the way, you know who we had on here the other day as a special guest and somebody that used to be a close friend of yours? Carol Hammerly.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I just asked about Carol when we were driving to Milwaukee. I said, I know that one of her longtime assistants I'll see at the pickleball court on occasion. And I said, I think Carol's in town because I think she's in Arizona. I said, well, let's find out.
She's in Tucson.
You ought to book her on your show when you fill in with John.
I'll tell you what. She was so good. The memories we brought back.
Yep.
And, you know, again, to look at GB now, you know, watch them play Tennessee the other day and everything. But what Carroll started with at Green Bay versus what it is now. I mean, she's a phenomenal coach, but the facilities that she had to work with. I mean, there'd be like they'd have to change practice. I remember one time because a Phi Ed class would have the gym reserve. You know, and they're getting ready to play, you know, Detroit or Milwaukee or somebody, but they got to wait till the Phi Ed class is over before they can even get in the gym.
I did the radio broadcast for their games for a number of years, and I heard those stories. And that program's come a long way. And Carroll is one of my all-time favorites. And I'll never forget that the assistant coaches at the time said, one of the things we try to do is make sure that Carroll never takes a shot in front of the players. I said, why is that? She goes, if you saw her take a shot, you'd know why.
Really? I thought she had been a big basketball star.
No, Carroll didn't play basketball.
Field hockey. Remember, she played field hockey.
She mentioned that, but she never assumed.
No, she basically was a coach of other sports. And when they started the team, they said, hey, would you like to coach the basketball team? So she learned basketball.
I never knew that.
With the players.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she told us she only had three girls on that first team that ever played basketball before.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I never got that when the assistant goes, we try not to let Carroll ever handle the ball in front of the players.
That's incredible. All this time I knew her, I never knew. I always thought she was a basketball star.
Because, John, you've done golf outings and stuff.
Yeah.
How many times? I'll never forget this either, that we're at a deal, and we get a client with us.
You and me?
No. I was with Big Casey.
Okay.
And Casey had this big, big client come on, and this guy was a little bandy rooster
kind.
And he was talking his stuff.
Wait a minute. Jim Schmidt was there?
No. This is a guy who was with a car dealership.
Okay.
And this guy is talking and talking and talking. And he's the guy who shows up for this to win.
Oh, yeah.
One of these golf scrambles.
I do.
And he looks at me, he goes, so what do you shoot? I said,
I don't.
Maybe 110, 120. I said, we're going to play a couple of my shots, but you're counting on me.
Yep.
He goes, you mean you don't even break 100? I said, well, I've broken 100. I once shot a hole in one, but put a 12 up on the next hole. So that's me.
Same with me.
And he goes, oh. And he gets in the tee box, and he takes a stance, and he starts to warm up. And I said to Casey, this guy has never seen 80 in his life.
Yeah.
This guy was stuck. And he hits it, and he skins one off into the woods. Absolutely. And he goes, oh, that got away from me. I said, I think that's going to happen a lot today, isn't it?
You know, my Murphy and I was talking about this. The worst, the sickest kind of feeling you have sometimes was when we used to host the Packer alumni tournament down at Butamore.
Mm-hmm.
And people would pay, hey, you know, it's a celebrity tournament. You get a celebrity in your foursome.
Oh, and they're all lined up.
Yeah. And the guys are waiting. We have to go this way. And there's these two groups right next to each other. Murphy's be one, I was going to be the other. And they're looking, and there comes, you know, Scott Hunter, the old Packer quarterback. Here comes, this guy. Here goes, hey, there's Lynn Dickey. And now,
I want him.
Exactly. And me and Murph walk up to those guys, like, hey, Murph, John, hey, you guys are doing the banquet? Yeah. Hey, thanks for being here. And they keep looking, going up the
waiting for the celebrities.
And they're like, I think we're with you guys. Like, okay, that's great. Do you know where our celebrities are? Honest to God. And then the one guy, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah, you come along.
Well, hey, you guys do a lot of these, don't you? Like, hey, you know what? At least we got two great golfers with us. Both of us, dribbling down the thing.
And if you suffer, like, sometimes the old joke is, you know, you go into, you're in a bar, you're at a stadium, whatever. You go into the men's room and you're suffering performance anxiety.
Yeah.
Try to hit a golf ball.
Absolutely.
With everybody watching you.
Absolutely. That is one of the scariest things. No kidding about that.
Right.
Yes. I remember one time, these two ladies, Murph and I were talking about, we're bragging. We're neither one of our good golfers, obviously. But we played a lot. But they said, hey, we'll take you guys on. And Murph, whatever. So, you know, we were talking big, and we did this big thing. You know, we're out there at Thornberry playing. Okay, by the sixth hole, they were giving us instruction. Honest to God, they'd be like, John, drop another ball. Can I just show you one thing, John? Seriously, when you take it back, so we went from being fat and sassy
to getting a lesson.
To literally, they were giving us lessons as we went.
Did they get their $175 entry fee back?
They felt really bad for us.
I guess so.
Got a text here. Oh, my God. Old Home Week. Loved Doug and Kathy and Mino back in the day.
Oh, we love you.
You know, I want to tell you something here, and I want to Kathy knows the story well. Now, she and I haven't done a show. I did the math, and if my math is right, it's been 23 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Because she left before I did. I've been out for about 15 years. She left 8 years
before. Okay, let me just jump in. Yeah. I didn't realize until you mentioned this morning, all four of us worked together.
Yes.
Todd was working there at the same time. Yeah. But different shifts. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So 23 years.
That we're all still alive.
I know.
I'll bet you I don't go more than 2 weeks without somebody asking me how she is.
Oh, absolutely.
Or, and you always wonder, when we do this business, you sit in a studio and you think, man, am I having any impact?
Yeah.
Is there anybody listening? Is anything there? And then, and by the way, the people who say this to me are all 60 or older.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yes.
Make that clear.
Yeah.
If it's somebody in their 30s goes, yeah, my mom had you on.
Absolutely.
They're dropping this off.
Yep. Absolutely.
But you know what? I said to her, I said, you know, that tells us the impact we made that for all those years. And we had two runs.
Yep.
We did two different times. We did a longer run, and then we got a divorce because we hated each other. We've never been able to pinpoint.
Welcome to the world of radio.
We've never been able to pin down what happened.
Whole bunch of stuff.
Happens.
Whole bunch of stuff.
That's radio, though.
And then I was at a Lori Line concert. My wife and I are in the front row, and Kathy was in the back, and I saw her. And Lori says, well, there's Kathy back there. And I go, well, good for her. And she goes,
Why
don't you go up and wish her a Merry Christmas and say hello? You guys, you know, you don't even know what you're mad about. So I went up there and everything fell away.
Yeah.
Everything fell away. And from that point on, one of the things we've done as we've gotten older is we let each other know how important we all are.
Yeah.
To each other.
Yeah.
That all right, this is you. And I think the second run we had, I don't think anybody was better. I really don't. I mean, we were so focused in. And we got past all of the immature.
The junk.
Junk.
Yep.
And we knew what we had. And, man, we were zoned in. And, you know, it would have been nice to see what happened. But Kathy grew up a little bit before I did. And, you know.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, though, too. You don't appreciate it while you're doing it.
No.
You really and truly don't.
And that's with the songs, you know. You don't, you know, they always look better when they're leaving.
There's this very famous clip. All right, I'm going to date myself, but on this show you can. There's this very famous clip where Ginger Rogers is the Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, the dance duo. She was standing up there. They were honoring Fred Astaire. And she says, you know, we worked together for so many years and hours and hours and hours, and I would just curse how late we'd be there at night and what I wouldn't give to do that one more time.
Absolutely.
Yep. And that's just getting older.
Yeah. Yep. That's the truth, though.
And learning it.
But, you know, you got to remember, though, I mean, even back in those days, there was... Once you're on the air, it's not a problem. You know, you can have the chemistry, do whatever. Once the mics are off, you can all go your separate ways. So that's the thing, you know, in this business that's pretty cool is you can work with somebody that maybe you've got some personal things or just oil and water type things. But on the air, it doesn't matter when those mics are on. You can kind of create magic or whatever. This is the one job you can really do that
in. I think that worked with us, I think, because there was a genuine affection.
Yeah,
buried deep down below the nonsense we created.
Oh, don't remind me.
Yeah. But, are you a contortionist?
No.
No? Okay.
But oh, my gosh. I will say this. What you just said only goes so far because I worked with partners I didn't like on the air.
Or
I didn't like off the air.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It went deep.
Yeah. It went to the core.
Now we're really getting into radio talk here. But, you know, that was a different era, though, too, Doug. I mean, I'm sure. Did you guys play whatever music you wanted?
No.
Pretty much? Oh, you didn't. You were regulated in that way, too, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we really were.
But we were talking, you know, when I was doing the DUZ thing, it was still AM top 40 music. I mean, I'm sure Don Roberts played whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted.
Yeah, probably. I think they were allowed. Yeah. And I haven't. I talked to him a while back.
I have never seen him since.
Doing well.
Good.
He's doing well. Yeah. Hey, everybody, I think everyone's doing fairly good.
Yeah.
But I don't see hardly anybody.
Right.
I see Kathy. I hang out with just a couple of the other guys who are still there when I left. But yeah, it when people tell you I'll miss the people I work with, here's the news bulletin for you.
That's a lie.
Don't even think about them hardly ever.
Todd, don't listen to them. I'll never forget you, Todd.
That makes so much sense.
I know.
So
we
love you, Todd.
We'll be back. Doug Kaufman and Kathy Larkin in here on the Might of the Mayor show. Back right after this.
Gotta keep rolling. Ooh. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Well, the midnight headlight, grind you on a rainy night, steep grade up ahead, slow me down, make no time.
Hey, welcome back. Mighty the Mayor Show here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WSS, and of course the Civic Media app. Doug Kaufman and Kathy Larkin in the house. This is a lot of fun. Doug, what do you miss and not miss from Radio Days?
Here's the deal.
Okay.
Kath and I have talked about this a billion times.
Because we've been in a car up to Milwaukee, Milwaukee. Like 7 hours we spent together the other day. Not that I was counting, Doug.
There is not a single day I don't think about it.
No kidding.
Not a single day. My relationship with this business is the most important thing I'd ever done, and it's also probably the most self-destructive thing I've ever done. Now, to me, it was always my passion, and Kathy, like said,
it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I like being on the air with Doug, and I like doing this. But
you never had that dream of, I've just got to get it to radio.
I just
kind of
ended up in it accidentally.
Right.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to do it from the time I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
I think about it all the time. There was a moment after I'd left that I thought I was going to come back because I was suffering. I love the phrase. I was suffering imposter syndrome in my new job. It's I am never going to figure this out.
Yeah.
And when we had conversation, I had gotten over the hill. I'd gotten over that thing.
Yep,
and I was able to say, you know what? It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for me.
Yep.
Let's just go our separate ways.
Right.
So I got that point. And then when I was getting close to retiring, I thought, well, it'd be kind of fun to finish off maybe my last 2 or 3 years doing this again. And I was talking to a guy, and I said, well, here's the deal. And this, if I do it, I'd like to do it like this.
Right.
And here are some guidelines.
Do it your way.
Some guardrails and parameters to protect myself. And he calls me back and he goes, hey, it's not going to work. You know, they hate you as much as you hate them.
And I said, give him a bell on that one, Ty.
And I said, yeah. And I told the guy, I said, yeah, I kind of told you that, didn't I? He goes, yeah, but I didn't understand. I said, yeah, it's.
Wow.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, then. Wow. Yeah. So what are the things that you look back on if, you know, because I thought when I was there with you guys and GB was doing really good, the men and the women, and that was big then because that was huge.
Talk of the town.
We had, and we carried the games, everything. We had a great little era going. Don't you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I really miss that. And you mentioned GB, and I think you'd go with the gamblers and so much stuff. The world has changed so much. I mean, we had a relationship. And the Phoenix had a relationship with the community and the radio stations, and you have them on the air, and you see people at the arena. I think those relationships don't exist anywhere.
I agree.
I had no idea, John, how good the Green Bay Phoenix men were this year until February.
Yeah.
And I went.
And it used to be our lives.
I was a longtime season ticket holder. I don't subscribe to the paper anymore. I'll read it online, but, okay, what does that do? I mean, there's nobody covering. I remember when the Press Gazette would have three people cover a Phoenix basketball
Absolutely.
Game.
You know, I asked Ted Stefaniak last week, the last game I was at, I was actually out at the Crest, and I said, Ted, where's the media?
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I don't, we used to have the big table.
Right. Just, and right. All the media was sitting down at the table.
He goes, well, no, I think they sit in the stands or maybe whatever. It's, you know what I mean? It's just.
How many times would you go to the game or do the game and you'd go home and watch the highlights to see what you missed out?
Absolutely.
So the game would be over by 8:45. You'd be home by the 10 o'clock news. Yeah. And everybody would have the highlights.
How many times when I first started, would I have to call you or the engineers? It's not working.
Well, I spent more time in the old arena. I spent more time in that little closet where everything was.
Yes, with the transmitter.
Wiggling wires, yes. Unplugging them and plugging them back
stringing
in.
Stringing that cable 50 yards.
People waving. I go, okay, I guess I got to go see if I can fix that. Yeah.
Yep.
You know what? We talk about this a lot. I really miss, you asked, do I think about it? I think about it all the time. But what we did is hard to exist. I'm not going to say it doesn't exist. I actually think what you and the mayor do probably is closer to what we used to do.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's why I said yes to coming
on
the show.
We're trying to be old school. You know what I mean?
I knew I would enjoy
and
it.
And I still think that would work.
I do too.
But nobody from Green Bay owns anything.
Because it's all corporate. It's somewhere from wherever they're from.
Where I work, man.
And it's cookie cutter.
Where I work, all the dictates are coming from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Couple blocks away, all the dictates are coming from Wausau. Yeah. From other part of town, everything is coming from San Antonio or wherever iHeart is.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the things we all used to have. When I moved here, there were three companies. There were about 8 stations, but every station had a program director and had a full staff and everything else. Now you got a couple of people who are live and the people are recorded from somewhere else.
And you experienced that too. I remember one time I was driving, I was going back and forth from the UP, and I'm going through the Marinette Menominee. It's like,
there
I am. Doug Hoffman. It's like, and I remember when I talked to you that time, hey, it's great to hear you back in the radio. Where are you? Do you work in Marinette? And you're like, nope, do it from my basement.
Yep.
Like, what?
Yeah.
From my bedroom. Yeah, from my office.
I was doing it in my office in Nashville, Abaddon.
Yeah.
But that's the way it goes. And so I was just as hypocritical as anyone else, but I switched careers and needed to make some money. Right?
Yeah. But you know, it's one of those things, though, too. One, when you do radio, I will say this. You guys right now sound exactly the same as you sounded in 1995
or
whatever. But you know what? So, I mean, it is one thing. Once you kind of got it or whatever, you got it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying, I got it. But I'm just saying it's something that you do that it becomes it becomes part of you, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Never goes away.
No.
You know what, John? I'm coming in here. I hadn't seen you in a couple of years, which I'll remind you of the last time I saw you.
It wasn't at the circus?
No.
Okay.
But I'm coming and I'm listening to you. And,
how drunk was I?
And when I saw you, I was shocked at how old you were.
There's one for the promo reel.
Yeah, there we go.
Man, he sounded so young. Now I know how those children felt when they met Doug the DJ. Really? That's him? Oh, man.
Oh, that's good stuff. Doug Kaufman and Kathy Larkin here. And, you know, one other thing we were talking about as far as I know you experience this. Kathy and I were talking about the worst gig in radio back in the day. Bus trips to ball games.
Oh. I can tell you a great story. Maybe we'll after your 8 o'clock break.
Okay.
Because it was funny because when I got out, I approached it completely different. I was invited as a guest.
Yeah.
And I was told, you're not helping. Yeah. You're not helping. By the guy who was in charge of the bus.
Absolutely. That was the most. You couldn't enjoy it.
No.
Because like
no.
I said, you'd have this nice elderly couple who just want to enjoy. Then you got these people that they're drunk by 9 in the morning.
Hammered.
And yelling and swearing. And like, oh. And everybody would come to you to, you know,
to
it's
fix
like,
it.
Could you do
fix
something
it.
About that, John?
No.
We got to send a quick break. Back with more. Doug Kaufman and Kathy Larkin right after this.
We've got a long way to go. A short time to get there. Time to ease kind of what no bandit runs. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.